Life Takes Guts with Nidhi Swaroop. Hi, and welcome to the podcast series from the Crohn's and Colitis Society of Singapore. We will be bringing practical information to patients diagnosed with Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis. Family members and friends will also gain a better understanding of our life after diagnosis. We believe that our conversations will bring hope and empowerment to you as we journey together. Zaitun and Amir are parents of Amira, who was 3 years old when she was diagnosed with inflammatory bowel disease. While parents take care of their young ones, children also care a lot for their parents' well-being. Let's hear little snippets of love, care, and emotional journey of Amira's parents over the last 10 years. In this episode, you will also hear some of the statistics of the pediatric IBD cases in Singapore.
Hi, Zaitun and Amir. Welcome.
Hi, hello, good morning.
Hi, welcome to this episode where we will be talking to parents of a young child who was diagnosed with inflammatory bowel disease. And I believe your daughter was 3 years old when she was diagnosed with IBD. How old is she now?
13 years old. And back then she had, the symptom was, beginning was she has this diarrhea with mucus. And we actually don't know what exactly it is. So we brought her to the GP and we brought her to the polyclinic and end up, they asked me all to bring her to KK Hospital where, you know, she was going through a few tests before she was diagnosed as UC.
I'm Daddy, Amira's father. Okay, it came to us as a sudden shock, actually. The whole episode was like mommy waking me up in the middle of the night to show me the diapers full of blood. No. So we both freaked out, actually. We had no clue why was she bleeding and all. You know. And after that, like mommy said, you know, we rushed to the nearest GP near our place. And he actually told us, you know, to bring her straight away to KK Hospital. And that's where she was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis.
Okay, so immediately, so there was no time gap between the first episode of this blood, the this kind of symptom and the diagnosis. It was quite quick,
Pretty straightforward,
So the symptoms were very straightforward and it was easy for the doctors to suspect that it could be inflammatory bowel disease. So in her case, did they do like an MRI? Because such a young child, wouldn't probably do a colonoscopy, would they? How do they?
Yes, for Amira, firstly, they brought her to the nuclear scan. First they bring her to X-ray. So secondly, they couldn't find anything. Then secondly, they brought her for the nuclear scan where they inject a coloring and
it's like a blue dye.
So went through the tummy, everything. They couldn't see any growth. Then after that, they do her the colonoscopy for her to determine that is this UC. So after the colonoscopy, then they say, yeah, she had this.
The colon is inflamed.
The colon is inflamed. So, that's where, and she was given steroids. At first was antibiotics and then steroid. And slowly she recovered from the stool become normal. Then she has to go to taking steroid for short term.
So at that time, when the doctors were investigating, what was going through your mind? And roughly how many days of these tests that were going on? I'm just trying to get an idea. Was it like within one day or a week? How long did it take for all these tests to be done?
I think it's about more than a couple of weeks.
It was like at first, when X-ray was done, I think the nuclear scan was done the next day because they couldn't find anything. So they wondered what causes she to bleed?
The test was more or less continuous in the beginning because they wanted to confirm that, you know, she has this symptom.
Of course. And for such a young child at 3 years of age and the person is bleeding, so it's quite critical to identify the cause and stop it. And I'm just wondering, you know, as a parent, you see your child like that. What kind of emotions were running through both of you?
We were definitely devastated. We were like trying to search for an answer, actually. Spoke to both our families to see whether if anyone back then had this symptom or, you know, whether they had some kind of remedy, homemade remedy. We were desperate as parents, you know, to find an answer, to find a cure, because we did some research on steroids and stuff, you know, like long-term side effects, and, you know, like we were definitely devastated and really, really worried.
Was there any kind of support you got from the hospital system or from your friends or colleagues? Any place?
No, this was a new thing for us, and I think a few other parents who had no knowledge, and many of them don't even know what is Crohn's or colitis. We had no support group. We were just both of us trying to find an answer, trying to find a cure. Yeah, it wasn't easy. It was pretty painful for all of us.
Furthermore, it's a rare sickness, and when we approach a lot of people, we try to ask them, they also don't know what is this. They never encounter.
Yeah.
Not much people encountered it. So Google, you know, that kind of thing. After being diagnosed, then I go through further research on that on myself.
In your family, you didn't find anyone who actually had such a thing, even anything to do with digestive tract. I mean, we know that, yes, nobody had inflammatory bowel disease. Nobody had heard of Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis. But anything to do with digestive tract, nobody had anything, right?
That's searching on our family side. Then we don't see anybody complaining of all this.
When it's such a young child, we know that it's not like she has been eating a lot of food for many years, which was maybe unhealthy food, right? So all the more we start worrying, isn't it? Exactly. So I'm just curious, this conversation would have happened about 10 years ago, but at that time, what kind of statistics were you told that in Singapore, how many children get it, or how many have been diagnosed so far? Anything on that?
Honestly, no. We were only told, because we wanted a fast cure for her. So the only thing the gastro doctors told us that she can be maintained with medications, but worst scenario, they might have to remove the affected colon and put a stoma back outside her tummy. Until she's much older to reconnect the colon back.
Wow.
So that made it even harder for us. Like, we were like, no way that's going to happen, and we're going to do everything we can within our means to you know, make her feel comfortable. And
So I imagine you would have made certain changes immediately, and what were those what kind of steps did you take?
We started off with the diet, no spicy food, and she's lactose intolerance. No fruits, like oranges is a no-no for her, citric, grapes, and because there was a period where she was drinking a lot of Robinas and stuff, you know, she was just testing, you know, new food and stuff. There's a lot of things had to be stopped.
At that age, right? At 3 years, naturally a child would be exploring different foods, isn't it? So you did have to remove certain items from her table. These are not permitted.
No wheat product.
Even a doctor did mention, because individual child react
differently
with the food intake. So you have to, I monitor what are the things that trigger the condition. So I normally I will see, let's say I introduce something to her and I will see the reaction or the stool. So for Amira, grapes, raisins is a no-no. Because whenever she take that, blood will come out.
Wow.
Trigger.
So, yeah.
Immediately you will see that.
Because, yeah, because she loves raisins a lot and she can eat one box of small box salt.
It's sweet and nice. It's sweet and nice. It's better than having some kind of chocolate, I suppose, or sweets,
supposed,
right?
Supposed to be healthy, right?
Yeah, it has iron in it. but it didn't suit her body. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think those citrus, like oranges, to me, if like grapes is citric, but it's less citric than oranges, I assume the oranges will be more much impact on her, so I don't give oranges also.
Mm-hmm. So other fruits she was able to take, is it?
Okay, she loves only banana. She loves banana, and banana is the safest I can say for her. And for papaya, she don't like the taste. I let her introduce papaya because papaya is not citric kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she don't really like papaya, so she stick to banana only.
Okay.
So I imagine
that in the beginning it took a couple of weeks to identify what is wrong with her, and the medicine started, and you would be seeing the doctor more often at that time. So can you share with us, like, what was the frequency of seeing the specialist in the hospital at that time?
At that moment, after she was discharged, then we have to go for review for about 2 weeks, every 2 weeks or 3 weeks, I can't really remember. Then it increased to 1 month.
Hmm.
Under remission, it's increased to 1 month and 1 month plus. So if she's doing good, the review will be stretched longer.
So every time when she went to see the doctor, would there be like blood tests or any other kind of test? What was
blood
that?
There will be blood tests, liver tests, because she's under immunosuppressed medication. Mm-hmm. Although steroid was taken out, she's under maintenance medication, which is immunosuppressed. So they have a blood test for her liver function, the ESR.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, because I don't know all these things, but I keep on asking doctors a lot of things. What is ESR? Yeah, it's the inflammation rate. Yeah. And then the red blood cell, the white blood cell, you know. But because she's not consuming much nutrients, as in milk, at that moment, we don't even give her milk because we like worried. So along the way, after a few years later, they introduced this peptamen and modulin. So I let her try both, but she preferred peptamen. It seems that peptamen suits her.
That is a nutritional drink, is it? It's a wholesome meal.
Especially
kind of thing.
Formulated for kids with Crohn's and IBD. Mm.
Okay.
Because she's pretty worried about calcium intake, because since she's lactose intolerant, right?
Yes. And
thank God, you know, they created something for kids with this condition, you know.
Yes.
That calcium needed, you know. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. They need to grow and they need to get all the nutrition. They need to gain weight.
Yes.
So all these things would, I suppose, be taken care of. And
We were told by the gastro doctors that some kids, you know, after taking steroids, it will shorten their growth and, you know, so... We were worried about that also, you know, bone loss and stuff, you know, so many things concerning about her, we have to worry.
There's one stage where, because of all these side effects, right, before Amira was admitted, I actually hold her until she had diarrhea for 18 times. And I think, and then there's a doctor that, because I wasn't feeling well, I saw the doctor, then I just let it out. to this doctor, and the doctor said, you need to bring her to the hospital. You cannot let her be like that. So that's where I brought her. We brought her to KK Hospital. That's where we get her diagnosed and get tested, doing the all those process where to finalize that what she has actually.
Yeah. So this is just before the diagnosis. Yes. You were sharing that she had diarrhea 18 times.
Yeah, yeah, she had one day for 18 times.
One day. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
She can't even walk.
Walk. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So weak. So I tell myself I need to bring that. I don't care for the steroid because of the side effect. I worry that she cannot grow all this. Then you know I got to weigh all these pros and cons. So
yes.
Yes.
So we need to choose between the fear of steroids as opposed to how it can possibly benefit the child. By weighing that, then you come to the conclusion that we need to accept that certain treatments are vital. It's important for her well-being, and hopefully the condition can be managed. And then once it's managed, she can grow. Yeah. So that is at the very beginning stage. Yeah. At 3 years of age. So maybe we move to, let's say, 1 or 2 years down the road. Yeah. Maybe let's say she's 5 years old. What was happening at that time? How was she coping?
She was not really frequent, but she has this when she, because it's the colon is inflamed, and she's wearing diapers, and sometimes she will go to one corner and close the door, you know, she will like that. Then we kind of worried also lah. Then that's where she told me, Mommy, I don't want to worry you. That's why I closed the door. Because I'm wondering, I also worry about her. And then she was actually...
She worries about you.
At that age, like, yeah. I feel touched, you know, and sit up.
Yeah.
It has been pretty depressing, not me.
Yes, as a mother, yeah.
But there was a time where, you know, she just, like, she was asking, saying things like, I wish I was not born. I wish I didn't have this. You know, I think she was, as much as we were worried about her, she was also worried about us, you know, that, Mommy and Daddy is so upset and, you know, constantly, you know, like worried and thinking about me, you know, like, why me? Why am I having this? And,
yeah.
Even asked the doctor why I go through this when they couldn't find the veins and she has to be.
Yeah, especially when they want to take blood from her.
Yeah.
And then some of the interns, you know, they couldn't find the vessel.
The vein, yeah.
Yeah, the veins, yeah. So from the arm to the toe sometimes,
ankle.
So sometimes it's bruised, you know, a little bit blue-black, you know. So they cannot, you know, go to that part to draw out the blood. So they have to find other veins to, you know, do it.
Yes. But what I'm hearing is she was more matured than any other child, probably because of the experiences she had gone through over the 2 years, in the last 2 years. We're talking about at age five, yeah? She was way matured than anyone else at age five, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because she's able to see how parents are feeling, and then she's also responding to it and trying to play her part, you know? It really touches our heart to see such a young child going through so much. But I suppose we were all trying to move on with life and do the best we can, isn't it? Yeah. So did she start going to school at that time, or was it a little bit later? When was that?
During 5 years old, she was in kindergarten.
She was in K-1.
So whenever she's on steroid, the side effects, she will have a...
She'll be puffed up.
Actually, along the way, when she in primary school, when they start to look at her during the, you know, steroid thing, and she, you know, her friends, classmates will say she's look cute, all things, but she doesn't like... She doesn't feel that, she doesn't want that kind of
comments,
remarks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Attention, yeah? Those kind of comments, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Because
she herself knows what she's going through and why she's like this, you know, the appearance, you know, the puffed up cheek and stuff. Yeah.
Was she feeling fatigue? Was she saying that she, I feel very tired or something like that? Yeah.
Yes.
She's okay. During the steroid, she will eat a lot. And then if she's very sad, she will keep on crying nonstop.
Mood swings. I was just going to come to that.
Mood swings.
So when she laughed, she really laughed
uncontrollably.
Oh, you also like
you know, like we have to say, okay, baby, calm down, you know, relax a little. That's fine because like
that's happy, normal.
That's okay. But when she goes into the crying mode,
it's very difficult. And you know, I got to ask the doctor what's going on. Why she cry until like that? You know, you never see her cry. Oh, these are the side effects of the steroid. The dose reduced and slowly all these things will go off. You know, I was like, thank God.
As a father, I felt really lost that I can't do anything to cheer up, you know. And she would just say, leave me, just let me be, just leave me alone. But it's, you know, to hear that, it's really, really painful.
Yeah.
So that's why mommy will come into the picture and I'll tell her, I'm taking a walk down at the park, you know, something. And then, you know, woman to woman talk, mother and daughters, you know.
It could be pretty challenging, and I'm trying to imagine at that moment how were both of you managing work and home. How was it at that time?
Okay, it wasn't easy because she would have to be hospitalized. There's a period where she was in isolation room with me, and I got to take unpaid leave over at my work, and lucky the people there are very supportive. Okay, you know, that kind of thing. And I was like very, very grateful, you know. Understanding.
Very compassionate.
Extremely supporting. I mean, seriously, I was even telling her, you know, think twice, you know, before you say you want to quit your job, because this company is really special, really unique. And, you know, the boss can actually tell Zaitun, you know, don't worry, you know, just go take care of your daughter. You'll get a temp staff, you know, to do all your job for you.
Wow.
Grateful.
Wow. How we wish companies can be more mindful that children do get this kind of illness, and then parents are the ones who will naturally be taking care of them. And when there is this kind of understanding, there is better, you know, productivity once you're able to go back, right?
Exactly.
You will feel more loyal towards the company also.
Exactly.
So all these things are so important. And I'm also trying to think about the teachers, you know, what kind of support did they provide? Because when she's drinking something special or she doesn't have to eat certain things. So there are all these restrictions on the child. But then if there's a little bit of support coming from the teachers, you know, when the child is in the class, a bit of understanding that it's not a simple cough, cold or flu. Yeah, it's something more serious we are talking about. So did you brief the teachers that this is a condition and what kind of support would be helpful? Was that the case?
Even starting from K1, we have already spoke to the teachers, you know, that she has this condition, and you know, like we will prepare food from home, the kind of thing, you know, there's certain food she can take and she can't take. Much later on when she went to P1, primary one, right? We both decided to enroll her in CHIJ as a all girls convent school, and teachers were perfect, fantastic. They were really understanding, accommodating to her condition, and you know, they were like call us or you know, check on her when she's admitted in hospital, and really, really supportive. You know,
brilliant.
The school, IJ.
Brilliant.
They will bring her over to our house, the homework for her, you know, so she can do it
at home.
In hospital, if she got the time. And the teacher did say, don't force her. If she cannot do, it's okay.
Yeah, not to stress
her.
Yeah, not to stress her.
If she can do it, let her be, you know?
They were very, very supportive. This is like some kind of role models for the other teachers in other schools, If they come across students who are going through this kind of a chronic illness, this support provided by Amira's teachers is fantastic. You know, the kind of support that they showed and the empathy they expressed towards her and the performance, you know, is amazing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Many times the teachers could be a bit distant and they would say, oh, but the rules say this, that, or the other, or academically she needs to, you know, perform, and that kind of adds to the stress in the child who's already going through so much stress, isn't it? So if we extend, when we think about like the extracurricular activities, the co-curricular activities in the school, was Amira able to participate in them?
For primary school, she did not participate. Because when she was at that period, she was at some moment she was on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
So the side effect is on her leg.
Okay.
So she got difficulty in taking staircase.
Mm.
So for her, at that moment when she was in primary, I can't even remember, primary 2 or 3, she has to take the lift, the elevator. So Amira has a special pass where she can access the lift.
So I'm guessing the lifts were actually for the teachers. For quick access to the different classrooms.
Kids with disabilities.
So they have this special arrangement and a pass that was issued to her to support her. That's great. So was it that some of the parents of her classmates, did they then try to understand what she's going through, and was there any such discussion with other parents?
I'm sure her classmates has, you know, they are more or less aware of Amira's condition. I'm sure they have spoke to the parents. We didn't have that kind of problem.
We don't have,
like, why is she being given a special treatment?
The classmate also sometimes help her on the carry some school books, you know, for her. And then I will say, I told Amira, you must have to say thank you to them. Mommy, I got to say thank you to them.
Oh, so cute. So kind. The children are so kind. They support each other.
Very, very helpful.
Very nice. That's fantastic. I'm just something that came to my mind is at one point when actually CCSS was started, our charity started functioning. That was in 2012. A little after that, I think Amira was in the hospital and I had come to see her. That scene just stays in my mind because she was sitting in the hospital bed and making these beautiful Play-Doh creations. They were amazing. There's cookies and there's burger and there's all kinds of things.
All the things she couldn't consume. You know, that's another way of her, like,
expressing,
you know, like, wow, you know, I might have all this when I'm better. Sushi and cookies with Play-Doh.
But then they were so realistic that I actually thought that this girl is amazing in her creativity. When I also recall seeing some of the cards, the greeting cards she made for mommy and then for daddy. Then she was expressing her gratitude towards the parents, and they were such beautiful cards. And along the way, I think I've seen her many times getting involved in art activities and art therapy, stuff like that. So if I'm not wrong, she went on to get some awards also. Can you share something about that?
Yeah, there was this book which was released by our president, Halima Yacob, about the Istana, the flora and the fauna and stuff like that. And they wanted one of Amira's art piece to be, you know, in that book, in the end cover. Yeah, and so we were invited to the Istana. It was was a real honor for Mommy and Daddy, and Amira herself. She was very excited.
Before that also, she has she did, okay, when she wanted to, at the age of 8, if I'm not wrong, she wanted to participate in the art competition held by Popular Bookstore. So at that moment, she was in hospital. Then she was a bit disappointed. Then I say, never mind, okay, you can try another one more time. So the next year, she got into that competition and she won consolation prize. And she went out to the stage and collect that gift, you know, the certificate. So she was very happy. And I get to know that actually up to 9 years old, that means that competition is up to 9 years old. So, but it's like, that is the last chance that she gets there. She's also happy. So after that, I brought her to some competition. She also won some consolation and prizes too.
Fantastic. Yeah. So it's so heartening to see the creative side building. Yeah. That there are these challenges in her life at such young age. But then there's the blessing that she also has, you know, the talent that she has. And very rightfully, you identified it and honed it further, that you gave her the opportunities to take part in other such platforms. And that's how she has been able to bloom. And then there is the book that the president of Singapore launched. Wow. And her art piece is part of it, the back cover, right?
Yeah, the back cover.
Fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you. Because what we both realized is, we were also told that stress can also trigger Crohn's and colitis, you know, especially when kids are already having it. Stress can be a triggering point, to trigger the condition back again. So we both decided to, you know, like make her as comfortable as possible and be more supportive of her interest, you know, which is art. She loved art, you know. And that's how we have been like managing her and just give her the space. I think every parent who has a child with any kind of chronic condition should be more supportive. Keep them away from stress. Give them a stress-free environment, you know, to not to trigger any condition.
We all absolutely resonate with that idea. Yeah, the best we can should be done. And naturally, those talents that the child has, if we can take them in that direction, it's a pleasure. When they are enjoying it, they are creating, and that definitely would reduce the stress in a body.
Actually, there's last year, if I'm not wrong, her art teacher entered her art piece for the National Day, and only 5 people will win in the whole island of Singapore. There's a lot of school teachers get the children to participate. And I received a call from her teacher say that Amira art piece is being selected by Singapore Art Museum. She's one of the 5 chosen ones. I was like, we didn't expect. And then the teacher was so excited. And then she's supposed to take my email. And then I also was like shocked. And then I'm like, okay. Then after that, she called back again. I'm so sorry. I'm supposed to get your email. And then she was so shocked and she was excited.
Yes.
Because she's her art teacher.
Yes.
She submitted Amira's and other student also the art piece.
Mm-hmm.
But she also was shocked, like, huh? She was
so surprised until you're shocked that you can't believe it can happen. Fantastic. It's such a pleasure to hear all the successes. that she has been going through. And yeah. I'm just trying to compare, you know, you have seen how you were trying to cope without a charity that focuses on children who have the illness or parents who are coping with the stress of taking care of a child with inflammatory bowel disease. So maybe you are the best people to say how a support group plays a role in the life of families who are dealing with a similar situation.
I guess it depends on our background, you know, like whether we can afford. There are those who can afford, there are those who can't afford, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And in our case, we are middle-income group kind of family, household of three, you know, me, my wife, my daughter. And I had to give up a lot of my job, which I really loved. Like I was an animal trainer from the zoo, the bird park, you know. And time was really, really needed, you know, to be with her. And mommy couldn't stop work, you know, because, you know, there's too many things to pay, the bills to think of. And it was tough. It was really, really tough. So then I became a relief taxi driver.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And mommy was still holding on to her job because the company was
so really fantastic. Yeah.
And she can't afford to, you know, lose that job for the
yes.
company.
Yes.
So it was pretty tough at the beginning because, like I said, you know, we didn't have any support group at the beginning, right?
Mm.
And then you guys came into the picture. Then Club Rainbow came into the picture. It really made our life so much easier. Yeah.
Mm.
And really grateful to you guys, you know, seriously, you know. Thank you so much.
Really feel that it's a blessing to meet you.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
We were constantly worrying, like, how are we going to meet the next payment or the bills and stuff, you know. And and we wanted to give so much, which we both can't afford, you know, for art lessons, tuitions and stuff. Mm-hmm. And you guys, God send, I mean, like, really, really grateful to you guys, seriously.
In the beginning, we do have a support group. We, like, every time I come review, and then, you know, but one time he asked this lady who the daughter also having, I think UC or Crohn's, I can't remember.
Mm.
So we asked, how do you cope? You know, we interview her, you know, we want to know more, that kind of thing. And then she was saying, no need to worry. This one already have means have. You just be happy. You don't need to think so much.
Yeah,
you
don't stress yourself.
Don't stress yourself. Just be happy. When happy, then you will be. We are asking and asking, so no answer. So we just go too happy that her daughter like grow very tall. And then we like thinking, oh, on steroid, it should be like, you know, got a lot of stutter or something. And how do you manage? We ask a lot of questions to her.
Mm.
And, she said, you don't have to worry so much, just be happy only. She said like that, you know, that
comes
we get some like comfort words,
we actually saw more hope coming when you started to invite us, you know,
and
to meet other parents with kids with the same similar condition, situation.
Yeah.
Like, we learn more from each other, like, what do you guys do, you know, like, in this situation? And we started to share, you know?
Yeah, thank God
for you guys, you know, like, you know.
No, as a Crohn's disease patient, I can totally understand the kind of support we need from our peers who have a similar condition, because people without the illness will not get the whole extent of what we go through. So I just brought this up because it's a different situation where you are parents of a child. Yeah, there are adults who are coping with the illness, and then they can be finding each other and talking to each other. But yes, without the charity set up to bring people together, there were many patients who were coping on their own. Mm. And they lived with the impression that they were the only ones in the whole of Singapore who had this. Yeah, until they came together with the others. And then suddenly it was like, wow, there are about 2,000 patients. Oh, they had no idea there were so many. And then similarly, when it comes to children, initially when I was trying to start something, my impression was there might be 50 or 60 children. But then when I started going and talking to various doctors and hospitals, and then it turned out there were, at that time, I think about 120 patients. And it took me 4 days to recover from that shock, that my heart just couldn't accept that so many young children have this illness. It was really traumatizing for me. Yeah, because even I'm a mother, I have children, and it was too difficult to accept that such a challenging illness can even happen to young children. Yeah, because like I said, even earlier, we think probably we have been living, you know, in a day and age where we are exposed to so many things that something out there affected us. But then the children are so young, they haven't done anything, you know, how does it happen? Those kind of questions were running through my mind, and it took me a while to accept it. But at least by bringing everyone together, we are able to support each other.
Yes.
We are kind of in the same boat. Yes. And then when we see successes like Amira, that she's able to cope with it. And not only cope, she's doing brilliantly. and you guys are wonderful parents supporting her skills and talent. So it's really a pleasure to see and, you know, be part of this journey. Yeah, we are all on this journey together. So it has been a pleasure talking to you guys. And I would like to hear that. Maybe in the next 2 to 3 years, what do you hope to see happening?
Some miracle cure. I mean, like you know, to as you know, not to let them go through the stoma bag thing. You know, something. You know, the science, modern science has come up with. You know, to cure them. You know. Both Crohn's and colitis.
Yes.
And of course now, you know, it's even a bigger challenge with the COVID situation. And I think basically a lot of them out there are not aware of Crohn's and colitis.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, you know, we can, you know, try and do something like bring out the awareness, you know, educate the more people, you know, that such chronic condition does exist, like the Crohn's and colitis. Yeah, yes. That would be great. Yeah, and have more get together session with, you know, other parents with kids with a similar situation where we can share more and, you know, like make them feel better, you know.
Yes.
That's to keeping it inside them and, like, you know, like no one to share.
I think, for the kids, I think it's best that they have some kind of passion where they can, you know, express.
Like art or music or something to get their mind off.
Absolutely. Okay. It's nice to hear the hopes and aspirations going forward. And absolutely, all of us are just waiting for a cure to come along, and that'll be fantastic, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. So at the end of today's conversation, would there be any parting message you would like to convey to parents, you know, other parents who have children diagnosed with either Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis?
Try to give them a stress-free environment. Be more supportive of what they love to do. Be more supportive. That's the, you know, just be there for them, you know, and let them know that, you know, we are there as parents. Yeah.
And in terms of study, if let's say there's always ups and downs in their studies, to me, I don't push Amira. I'll just let her go on her own pace.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If let's say she has some drops on some marks, I say it's okay, you can try the next one. Okay, don't pressure yourself. Okay, as long as you know, as long as like above average or average is okay with me, you know, you just put some effort, then it'll be fine. So I don't expect her to have A or all B's, you know, all A's, you know. But because of her conditions, she sometimes, I don't stress her on the study part, but she love her art, and then I told her you have to juggle both,
balance,
you know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So so far, so, you know, so good. Yeah. And during her PSLE, I think you're aware that she took her exam in
hospital.
Mm-hmm. And she during the year end, she went to the stage and inspired all the younger.
Wow.
Yeah, because she told them not to give up. You know, even she in hospital. Actually, she almost because she fainted the next day before the exam. Yeah. I told her, "You can make it. You can. If you cannot, it's okay." But yeah, she told me, "Mommy, I can." I was like, I don't know. I just leave it to God. I just pray hard. Everything goes fine. Okay, then yeah. She go through it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, really, really, you know.
Yeah. What I hear from you is actually Amira's willpower has become stronger and stronger over the years. The more she has gone through the challenges, that she has become even more stronger. So she's able to see what the priorities are, what she needs to do. And not only that, she has gone to the extent of inspiring others. So that's amazing, you know. These are the kind of people who will be, I mean, they will be role models going forward. Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for sharing your journey as long
thank
as
you Amira. So much. Yeah. Thank you so much to you too and the rest of your team here. For giving us all the support and everything. Really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Right. Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
We hope you found today's conversation useful and we look forward to you joining us in the next episode. For more information about joining the patient support group, please contact the Crohn's and Colitis Society of Singapore. You can reach us via email at admin@ibd.org.sg or WhatsApp at +65 9756 4066. Do visit our website www.ibd.org.sg to know more about our annual seminar, financial assistance schemes, and how you could join us as a member, meet other patients, as well as parents of children living with IBD.